And we welcome on Carl Calabrese, Republican political strategist, joining us to talk about the election and what we saw last night. All right, Carl, it was the interview I think a lot of people have been waiting for. Kamala Harris sitting down with Brett Beyer over at Fox News to discuss a number of issues everyone had been saying for basically the entire length of the campaign, ever since she got in and replaced Joe Biden. Where are we going to see her takes on some questions, some real questions about her policy? This was kind of that one shot that a lot of people are going to get. What did you think of what you saw last night?
Yeah, I would term it one and done. I don't think she's going to be going back for a follow-up. I felt like a POW, a prisoner of words. I think her strategy was to just basically flood the zone with as much talking as possible. He picked up on that, and he said afterwards that normally when a politician tries to filibuster, they take a breath and he could get in and to get a redirect question. And he said it was almost impossible to do that with her. I mean, it was that many words coming out of her mouth. So I think her strategy was go on Fox, flood the zone with words, be evasive, repeat the normal falsehoods that Democrats repeat about Donald Trump, just try to get through it. And they actually shortened the time. I was listening to Brett Beyer afterwards, and what was supposed to be, a much lengthier interview turned out to be about 20 minutes, and they whisked her away. So she did it. I heard your previous guest say that, maybe she accomplished the goal of speaking to Republicans, persuadable Republicans. I don't think that was the goal. Her problem, if you look at the polls, is with people who don't know what she stands for, and it's a sizable percentage. And if those people turned in last night to hear what she stood for, I don't think they got a lot. I mean, on the border, extremely evasive. On the economy, I really don't know what her economic plan is other than to give away money to certain groups. Very evasive about the cognitive decline of Joe Biden and what she knew and when she knew it. And she gave the Trump campaign the material for another follow-up ad in the last 2.5 weeks. Obviously, the first ad was her saying, what would you change in the Biden administration? And her answer was, nothing comes to mind. That's going to be an ad. Maybe it already is in the key states. We won't see it here. And last night she said, you've got to be responsible for what happens in your administration. People in the key states are going to be seeing that, along with a montage of all of the things that people don't like about the Biden administration. So, she did it. She was combative, energetic. But did she speak to the people who really wanted to have more meat on the bones of Kamala Harris's positions? I don't see that.
Carl, I'm wondering if this even has any effect one way or the other, because I feel like there's, one, a lot of Democrats who say, Fox News, no thank you, I'm not going there at the 10-foot pole. And then there's also Republicans who routinely watch Fox and say, I don't want to listen to anything Kamala Harris has to say.
Yeah, Lucas, you could be very correct on that. You know what's interesting about this race? Now, I've been following this race since January, when Biden was still, obviously, the candidate. And I would, each month, at the end of the month, I have a grid, and I would summarize the Real Clear Politics average of polls for that month. And obviously in July, now that was switched out from Biden to Harris. What's really interesting about this race is normally when you see changes in a race, especially at this point, you start to see them measured in points, 1 point, 2 point, maybe 3 points. This race has been measured in tenths of points. That's the lane of change that has occurred, tenths of points. Really, what has moved the needle? I mean, her initial selection, and then a very positive convention, and then this honeymoon of media coverage, and then the debate, which most people thought she prevailed in. None of those things really gave her any bump beyond 7, 8, 9 tenths of a point, maybe a point, but it was not long lasting. Within a week, the bump from the debate was gone. So, you've got this small percentage of people, this 8, 9, 10% who say they're undecided, that are going to decide this election. You know, are they really undecided? I don't know. I mean, you know, most pollsters will tell you Donald Trump underpolls by 3 or 4 points. And one of the reasons they give is what's been known as the shy Trump voter. You know, you get a call from somebody who says they're a pollster, and they say, who are you going to vote for? And you say, wait a minute, I don't know who this person is. Am I going to get a social media campaign against me and my family? If I own a business, is my business going to be boycotted? So the safe answer is I'm undecided. And that's what makes it so difficult to poll for Donald Trump.
Is the one takeaway from this, the quote, this is the quote from Harris, my presidency will not be a continuation of Joe Biden's presidency. And for those, you know, the slim margin of people who are undecided and who are going to vote, is it possible that that one line kind of pushes people over the edge saying, you know, hey, it's Trump. Maybe up until yesterday, it was still a decision in their mind between Trump and Biden, because it very well could have been seen as that way. Is that enough to tell people, all right, maybe that's not the case?
In and of itself, no. I think most people are going to say, okay, fine, but what would you change now? Would it be the immigration policy? Would it be the regulation policy? Would it be the foreign policy? Would it be the economic policy? What does that mean? Does it mean you're going to move more to the center? Does it mean you're going to move more to the left? What does that mean to me? It sounds good initially. But it's much like the sugar high she was on following her selection. It doesn't last. It's all sugar and no protein. This last couple of weeks are going to be interesting. I still think there's going to be an October surprise that may come down and affect the race. I have an idea of what it might be. We probably don't have time to talk about it today. Maybe David and I can get into it on Friday. But can I say one other thing that really bothered me? You know, she has said now that the number one threat to America on the world stage is Iran. That's incredible to me. I do a lot of reading about China, especially their military capability. Anybody who says Iran is a bigger threat to America than China doesn't deserve to clean the Oval Office, let alone sit in it as a president. And what really got my attention last night, if you watch that interview, not only what she said about Iran, but how she said it. You know, she ended every sentence, almost every single sentence in that answer, up talking. And psychologists will tell you up talking is a sign of not much confidence in what you're saying. So watch that again and just listen to how every single sentence ends in an up talk. That caught my attention right away. And it just went on and on and on. So, this is a very close race. It's going to continue to be a very close race. It's going to be a turnout election this year, and the side that does a better job getting their voters out to the polls will win this thing.
All right, Carl, excellent stuff. We always appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Lucas. Thank you, Brian.
All right, that's Carl Calabrese, Republican strategist here on WBEN, where it is 7:30.